coming today. It's my intentions that you, you'll be blessed today and be touched by God's word, and that you have a better love and appreciation for Christ the Savior and our Redeemer. Isn't that beautiful? And it's good to be back. It's good to be back in, as somebody said, Michigan. It's good. I enjoy getting away to New Jersey, Atlantic City, second capital of gambling. That wasn't my niche. My niche is to serve Jesus Christ. The family done that stunt. So I had to follow suit and bear with them. Them brothers and sisters, when they ain't living for Jesus, you know, they might pull off anything. So I'm glad to be back. I was glad when they said, be in the house of the Lord. So, and thank you, Deacon Roger, excuse me, for filling in the pulpit. Where's he at? He's gone? Oh, he's got money. I thank Deacon Rogers for filling the pulpit responsibilities. We asked our brother, Minister Perkins, but I understand he had a setback. And thank you, Brother Holly and Sister Holly, for ministering us into music to help uplift and praise the name of the Lord in that aspect of service. And we wish well our Deacon Ray for his, Deacon Klein for his pending trip, and that God will bless his life every step of the way. I do want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Only 14 and 15. Most of the time I grabbed a lot of scripture, and I got a tendency to don't finish it all. So this is only two verses. So I promise you, I'm going to fulfill. I can handle two verses. I can do this. No, I'm telling the truth. Okay. Second Timothy, chapter 3. Verses 14 through 16 here. And this is the letter Paul wrote. But continue you in the things which thou have learnt and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learnt them. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So I chose the topic, understanding the Bible and salvation, which goes hand in hand. The Bible is good for us. It's good for all things because it saves us, doesn't it? It teaches us issues every day in life. It corrects us. It restores us, doesn't it? Plus, it trains us as believers. And it's all from God, friends. Coming from the breath of God. is completely true? Because God is the originator without error. The word of God, beloved, is very profitable. Peter reminds us, being born again, we are born again, is that right? Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which incidentally lives forever, abideth forever. Peter says in his writings in 1 Peter. He also wrote in his second epistle, whereby are you giving to us exceedingly great and precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature, which is salvation. That's beautiful. That we may escape corruption. One day we will. Because through the world there's lust. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we boldly come to your throne today and just as eager as ever to learn your word. Because your word will stand in the sands of time forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never be disdained. So, Father, we're dependent on the unction of the Holy Spirit to teach us these spiritual truths, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Christian friend, it was through the inspiration of the scriptures, according to our text that we just quoted, God in his endless wisdom breathed out the sacred word by the aid of the Holy Spirit while using unique personalities. Through their experiences. And you know Moses, Abraham, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, and John, and all the few others, James. Unique personalities. Not to mention their styles and their specific vocabularies. Their experiences, Joshua, in that ancient city of Jericho, through his experiences, and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Daniel, Habakkuk, of each of these individual writers, inspiring some through a time span of 1,500 years. Yes. Inspiring by at least 39 or 40, 41 writers. Isn't that astonishing? That's precisely, they're saying in concert the same thing. You can't do that in the world, can you? One person say one thing, one person say another thing, and everything, but when it's under the caption, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's in one accord. That's a miracle and testimony in itself. And in a coherent message, precisely a rescue plan to the lost humanity and a broken creation. That's the thrust of your Bible. And with the focal point, it's Jesus Christ himself. That's amazing. You see, the Old Testament always point and prepare the way for him, as with the New Testament, incidentally. And it explains the personhood of his works, of Christ, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God is with us. That's the heart of the message. That's the word of God. God is with us. God is in this place right now. He's with us. And then John the Revelator in Revelations 2:7, he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to him to eat the tree of life. This simply symbolizes the eschatological state in which God and man are restored to perfect fellowship one day that existed before sin entered into the world. I will give to eat the tree of life. I'm going to give it to you. That's the word of God. In the midst of paradise of God. I'm looking forward to that. My Lord. So the Bible is more than just a dust collector. It's still relevant and the world's bestseller book of books. That's a fact. With 66 random books of religious history, the word, the Bible reveals God's redeeming grace, which was accomplished through Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about, friends. There is no other book like in the Bible. Did you pick it up this morning before you went to church? I trust you did. Is a presentation through the centuries is unique. The authenticities and the representation of the human heart is accurate in it. You have a problem, go to the Word. Don't march over to some psychiatrist. You perhaps need the Word of God in your heart, in my heart. It's alive, folks. Y'all don't hear me. It's alive. Because I read it this morning as I stumbled in my cluttered room. It's alive. I guarantee you, study it. And it's active. And it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Ooh. Ouch. It is more up to date than, what's your newspaper? Lancet what? State Journal. Y'all, State Journal. It's more accurate tomorrow, newspaper, your paper. Ours is the Flint Journal. For we know that the word of God is quick and is powerful. You forgot that? And is sharper than any two-edged sword. Anybody got a knife on them? It's sharper than your knife. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the discerner of thoughts of the intents of the heart. So we need to let the word of God get into our thoughts, beloved, and even into our attentions of our hearts. And so the Bible is our discerner of, or judge. Yes. Our inner man, you see, as a Christian, is often a mixture of genuinely, quote, spiritually and completely with human motivations. Only a supernaturally discerning agent, such as the Word of God, can sort out what is in the flesh and what is in the spirit. It takes the Word of God to know you. And the word of God knows us because it's from God. The psalmist was so excited about the Bible in Psalms 119:97. It says, "It is my meditation all day." Now, I was inspired. I told you before, this preacher in Muskegon Heights named Brother Joseph Hill. This man was a preacher 24/7. That's all he talked about. I got so tired of hearing the word of God, ramming it down. But the psalmist was so excited, he says, all day long. Is that your Christian experience today? All day long in your house? It ain't gonna hurt you. So quote and meditate on the word all day long. That'll give you something to do, Brother Klein, when you're on the highway. Plus, he says, how sweet are your words unto my taste? Yeah, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is the word of God more precious to you than honey? Amen. All right. Also, it helped him to go in the right direction. Are you going in the wrong direction today? Study yourself approved unto God. In his life, it was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. It talks. So the Bible gives us the list of life. But, you know, in the Jewish history and genealogies, typically the word of God did not include women. But there are five included in the genealogies in 1 Matthew. Why? Well, Matthew 1 gives us this account. It was Mary, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Uriah's wife Bathsheba. All were Gentiles except Mary, and some of them had bad histories, and that could have made them unmentionable. Now, the point is, it is an example how Tamar slept with her father-in-law, Judah. This in the Bible. Rahab was a harlot or a prostitute, according to Joshua chapter 2. But we see God uses imperfect people, sinful people, to fulfill his divine purposes. But we know all scriptures, to what we said, but we know all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, and training in righteousness. So capitalize on what you can do. You can do all things through Christ with stretching you, because you have the resources and I have the resources. And God is the author. And he makes no mistake. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good works. So we see in Numbers 26:22 tells us the clan of Judah, it was the number 76,500 were Israelites who came out of Egypt through this lineage of Judah that would inhabit the land that was promised to them. You see, this was the clan of the tribe of the Messiah. God's word says that. The message would come from bad behavior, but chosen of God, known as the Lion of Judah. God could have called the Messiah through Reuben, Gad, Zebulun, or the rest of them. But in spite of Judas with his ungodly behavior and my ungodly behavior and your ungodly behavior, the foolish things of this world, by his love, By his stripes we are healed. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So this brother obviously has repented. He got his act together. And he got his business right with the Lord. And the Messiah, through this bloodline, the Messiah would come as our salvation barrier through the Jewish background. And this includes all of us, Gentiles too, that would trust in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The word of God and salvation goes hand in hand. You see, the good news of salvation, according to the Apostle Paul letter to the Christians in Rome, in Romans 8:1, it begins with the salvation deliverance of there's no condemn what? Amen. I know you can say it. And it ends with the nothing what can separate us from the love of God. That's astounding. From the love of our gracious God, God's word. Friends, this is not salvation, but it's transformation. It's not only salvation, but it's a transformation. It is the work of the Holy Spirit as an agent of transformation of those of us that has been rescued. Amen. Brother Randy Ray, you've been rescued, man. Thank you, Lord. From the condemnation of sin. Yes, unto the from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us, believers, unto the kingdom of the Father's dear Son. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Colossians 1:13 shares that fact. So, beloved, our rich spiritual heritage is unspeakable because of the superiority of Christ. This proves our salvation hinges on the lordship of Jesus. All things were created by the sustainer of Christ. He holds them together, doesn't he? That's how he consists. Don't let anybody tell you that Jesus was a created being, as humanists argue in evolution. Not so. Paul had many clashes with these anti-Christian people, with others in this matter, but the Bible undeniably says Jesus, beloved, is the firstborn of all creation. Of all creation. Jesus had just, let's get back to our text here. 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul is saying through all what he went through, and he's charging Timothy something here. He says, Timothy, but you is in all things which have learnt and has been assured of knowing of whom you have learnt them. And then it says here, in verse 15, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures and are able to make you wise unto salvation. It's the word of God that will make us and our kids and our grandkids wise unto salvation. And we need to continue to share bits and pieces to our family members and our neighbors and everything, the word of God. It will make them wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. After all, that this is how we faith came, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody told us through a track or television or testimony, whatever. And I want you to we're going to wrap this up here. And I want you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, in regards of the word and salvation. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, starting with way down in verse, I think we're going to start at verse 60. John 6, 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? Does this doctrine offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens; the flesh profiteth nothing." Now this is Christ's own words. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and that believed not and should betray him." And verse 65 says, "And he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What is this saying? Jesus had just fed 5,000, perhaps maybe up to 20,000 people with this bread and a few fish. And he told the Jews, it wasn't so much your father and Moses in the wilderness that gave you my manna or bread. I am the true bread. I am the one that came down from heaven. The bread that your forefathers had, you will still be hungry. That's why you boasting about and can't handle, "I am the bread of life from heaven." But many refuted Jesus. Jesus answered them, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did not eat of the loaves and were filled with a divine substance that you should have had, which is salvation." And from that point on, many turned their backs on Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am manna from heaven." And they did not accept that. And Jesus reminded them, "Do not labor for the food which perish, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." That's salvation. "Which the Son of Man will give you." You see, God causes us to repent and to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And they want to choose and pick and this and that. But it don't work that way. I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. And they couldn't have it. They can't handle it. They couldn't handle that. And Peter seems to say in closing, confessing, "You have the words of eternal life." What it boils down to. You have words to the eternal life. And that's what counts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for life and life more abundantly. We thank you, Father, for your word is settled in heaven forever. And we thank you, Father, there's no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We thank you, Father, that we're more than conquerors and that you, the bread of life, the Lamb of God, behold, John says, that taketh the sins of the whole world. In your name, we pray this. In amen and amen. Brother Holly, closing song, and I'll be back for an invitation, a benediction.